Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first World Book Night podcast, where we're talking to Mark Haddon, author of The Curious Dog, The Curious Instant of the Dog in the Nighttime, one of the World Book Night books. Thank you for agreeing to talk to us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So how does it feel to know that 40,000 of your book is going to be shared on the 5th of March?
Well, two answers. One is that it's fantastic. The other is that Curious Incident has sort of grown to be such an institution. I almost feel like I don't own it anymore. Books are a bit like kids, aren't they? When they're little, you feel very proud of them being in the nativity play and then getting a GCE and everything. I just feel like Curious Incident is like a 50-year-old child now. You stop passing it on the back quite so much after that time. I sort of sit there in awe and see this sort of juggernaut rolling around the world, and I have to remind myself that it actually has anything to do with me.
That's fantastic. And what was it then that inspired you to write this book back in, when was it, 2003?
The desperation to get a book published, I think, just to be kind of brutally honest. I mean, I'd written 3 or 4 unfinished novels before. Mm-hmm. There were just hundreds of ideas in your head all the time. And it's often not the ideas themselves that make something work. It's often something very mechanical. In this case, what got me going was stumbling on a voice that really worked. Mm-hmm. So it's really nothing to do with the subject whatsoever. I just got this voice going, and I thought, I really like that. It really works on paper. And then everything sort of fell into place after that. And I think this kind of book would not have worked if I'd done it the other way around and say, I want to write about, you know, disability, for example.
Sure.
I think that would be horribly, horribly worthy. This just came from seeing something that worked on paper.
Okay. And then do you have books that you remember as a child that have that, share that voice, or had that amazing voice that you were able to recognise when you were first writing?
No, I think what got me excited was it's quite a new voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it came from lots of different places. I mean, you often hear writers talk about the thing, the one or two or three things which inspired them, and maybe it's true for some people. I think for most people, it's simply not like that. I think all these things sort of coalesce. And every so often I remember something that contributed to Curious Incident. I stumbled on a postcard recently, which I got sort of tucked away in one of my notebooks, of, I think it's a sort of early Renaissance kind of nativity fresco. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at it and thinking, if you were from Mars, what on earth would you make of this? How difficult would it be for someone on the Earth to explain what on earth was going on in this picture? With, you know, a baby in a manger, the kings, the angels. And that stuck with me for a long time, that Martian perspective, which crops up here and there in literature. So that was definitely one of the things. I really wanted a Martian perspective. How fascinating ordinariness looks when you come at it from the outside. But every month or so, I stumble on another thing like that, sitting somewhere in my past that fed into the beginning of Curious.
Wow. I imagine that as an author that you pick so much of your life to put your book together. It's not autobiographical, of course, but you know there's elements of your entire existence in there.
Yeah, and for me, it's completely opposite autobiographical. I think if you're writing about something which is very close to you, you do not have the distance and the objectivity to treat it harshly enough to knock it into shape. You fall in love with bits of it and you don't want to let them go. I mean, if you're writing about your own life, you think that needs to be cut, but oh dear, that's my grandmother. I can't cut my grandmother out of the story. For me, the thing that's most exciting and seems to work best is when I put myself in the mind of someone that I really am not.
Right.
And that's very uncomfortable at first, but for some reason, because I have to put the work in to make that character real, somehow I put the work in on behalf of the reader as well. I think if you know something too well, or indeed other people fall into the trap of doing too much research, and then the thing is real for them. They forget they've got to put in the work to make it real for someone else, for all these unknown people, hopefully, are going to read it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And what then would you say? Which books inspired you as a boy and as a sort of young man?
I, as a child, read almost exclusively science books. So I'd read encyclopedias. I'd read particularly books about space and space travel. And then I had a brief, rather intense obsession with paleoanthropology. I mean, this was sort of the 70s, and everyone's getting very excited about Australopithecus skulls being dug up in the Olduvai Gorge by the Leakey family. I found that absolutely fascinating. It was like cavemen, but a couple more sophisticated steps up. And it wasn't really till I was sort of 14, 15 that I started reading fiction.
Right.
So I'm completely unable to reach back into my childhood and find those classic childhood books which set me towards being a writer.
Oh, that's interesting. But what do you then pass on to your kids now? What are you encouraging them to read?
I have realised that encouraging children to do anything is almost completely pointless. But if you give them enough space, they kind of discover things of their own. I mean, also, I never thought of Curious as a book that would be sold to kids as a kids' book.
Yes.
And the whole dual audience thing completely caught me by surprise. And I haven't written as a kids' author for a very long time. It feels like a person I used to be in a past life. So even when they're reading kids' books, my kids, they're in a sort of foreign world to me in a way. Mm. And in fact, my oldest, who is 9 now, doesn't really read fiction at all. He reads a few Michael Moore Burgos, but he's absolutely fascinated by history.
Oh, really?
For which, shamefully, I don't have much of an aptitude. His dates and kings and battles tend to just slip through the net for me. But he is Velcro for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And has amazingly good historical knowledge. I think if I pushed him towards anything that I really liked, he'd have missed this. But when he found it, that was the key to, you know, a world of stories and various other subjects connected with history, whether it's politics or geography, and that was his way into books.
Fantastic. That's very interesting.
I think the other important thing, and World Book Night's aiming at so many people, isn't it? I mean, I would say it's aiming at people who don't really read novels, encouraging them to read novels, and people who read a lot of novels, encouraging them to read different novels. But certainly for the people who don't read much, and with the ones we're trying to encourage to read novels, I think it's important to know that you don't have to like them. You look at the World Book Night list, and if you feel really passionate about 5 on that list, that's a success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think being passionate about books doesn't mean just loving books. It means hating some as well. It means getting involved. It's not just being a lover of books. It's being sort of part of that family and engaging in the arguments.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very passionate about some of the books on the list. And some of the books, you know, they just don't do it for me. But that's part of my relationship with books.
Okay. So what would your choice be for World Book Night?
If I had to pick one?
Yes.
I'd pick two, actually. I mean, I'm going to cheat here. And two I read recently, All Quiet on the Western Front,
which is
just fantastic. I mean, it takes you into another world. It takes you into a world you think you kind of know from films and books, but because it's the war from the German side, it's both different and fascinating, and yet the same as well. You know, it's a case of recognizing yourself in someone else.
Right.
And the other book, which I think for a lot of people, if they read it, will become as a real shock, is The Crime of Miss Jean Brodie, which has entered the culture and become this rather sort of cuddly, catchphrasey kind of book, mostly via the film.
Yes.
Everyone, you know, can't help saying the crème de la crème. And when they think of this Scottish schoolmistress looking after her girls. But in fact, it's about fascism.
Right.
You get to the end of the book, and you suddenly realise that this teacher who is nurturing her little gang and separating from everyone else travels to Europe, and she reveals herself as a fascist, and it's really spiky at the end.
Yeah.
But we've grown up with this myth of the book in which the end is locked off, and we forget how spiky it is, and I'd forgotten that because it was so long ago when I read it. And it really brought me up short, so that was great. I'll go for those two.
Excellent. Well, I hopefully, lots more people will be getting to read those books on the 5th of March. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us today.
It's good to talk, yeah.
This is Mark Haddon, author of The Curious Instant of the Dog in the Nighttime. And his book is part of the World Book Night on the 5th of March.